Welcome back to another episode of Tell It Like It Is with your host, myself, this 504 girl, and today I'm going to be breaking down this 52-page motion. Yes, I am. So this is the memorandum of law in support of the government's motion in limine to admit certain evidence and preclude other evidence and arguments at trial. This is a 52-page motion, and I'm gonna read the most important things out of the 52 pages. I'm not gonna read all 52 pages because it's a lot, and this is so shocking to read all this information, which I have skimmed through all the 52 pages, and it is a lot. So I'm just gonna read certain things out of it that I feel like is most important that's gonna go on in trial. And I know a lot of other people, such as people on YouTube, has been covering it. And if you are a R. Kelly supporter and you feel like this is all BS, that's on you. If you're not a R. Kelly supporter and you feel like that he's guilty, well, I stand behind you 100% because I feel like that he's guilty too. Being that I was part of the Team Truth with Angelo Clary, which is Ezreal Clary's father, I was part of Team Truth and Larry McGee. So I feel like knowing a lot of information about the case way back, like 2-3 years ago, I kind of feel like, let me take that back. I really feel like that R. Kelly is guilty of all charges. I'm just gonna say that up front, and if you feel otherwise, you know, I have to respect your opinion about it, but you also have to respect mine. And you know out of life, everybody have different opinions on different things. So I'm just gonna start, like I said, with the most important aspects of the 52 pages. I'm not gonna read everything in here, but I will read some things that's very important. If I say blah blah blah, that means, you know, when they say the numbers RS and da 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 da, that's what I mean when I say blah blah blah, because I'm not reading all those numbers. I'm not about to read all those numbers. So yeah, so let me get into this. So Jacqueline M. Corrales, acting United States Attorney, Eastern District of New York, 271A Cadman Plaza East, Brooklyn, New York, 11201. And let me say this. There's gonna have some words in here that I may not be able to pronounce. Please forgive me. Please forgive me up front, because some of these words, you know, they're legal terms. So I'm not legal. I'm more police than legal. So, okay. So the government respectfully submits this memorandum of law in support of its motions in limine in advance of trial in this matter, currently scheduled to commence on August 18, 2021. So that means that the trial will begin August 18th, 2021. Specifically, I said it in my last that I cannot say that word correctly. I never have, and I never will. The government seeks to admit certain text messages of and relating to the individual identified in the indictment as Jane Doe number 5, an electronic note written by Jane Doe number 5, and newspaper articles written more than 20 years ago, and to preclude the introduction of certain arguments and evidence at trial, including evidence of cross-examination and or argument regarding 1, the victim's involvement in other sexual behavior pursuant to Federal Rule of Evidence 412, number 2, certain religious practices of a witness, 3, prior psychological histories of certain witnesses, 4, certain actions of the parents of minor victims, 5, prior good acts of the defendant, and 6, a certain witness' subsequent employment as an exotic dancer several years after an encounter with the defendant. For the reasons set forth below, the court should grant the government's motion. Okay, so I'm about to read on the background. So on March 12, 2020, a grand jury in Eastern District of New York returned a 9-count third superseding indictment, in parentheses, the indictment charging the defendant with racketeering and alleging 14 racketeering acts, including bribery, sexual exploitation of a child, kidnapping, transportation of minors and other individuals for the purpose of engaging in illegal sexual activity, illegal coercion and extortion of individuals and forced labor, as well as violations of the Mann Act. Related to transportation of individuals, including a minor, for the purpose of engaging in illegal sexual activity and illegal coercion and enticement of individuals, including a minor, and violation of blah blah blah. The defendant's alleged victims are identified in the indictment as Jane Doe number 1 through Jane Doe number 6. So that means Jane Doe number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is 6 minor females. Additionally, in the government's motion to admit other acts evidence, the government identified additional potential witness as Jane Doe number 7 through Jane Doe number 20. I'm gonna repeat that again. The government identified additional potential witnesses as Jane Doe number 7 through Jane Doe number 20, and John Doe number 1 and John Doe number 2, the victims, and we'll refer to those witnesses by those. Oh, did y'all just hear what I just said? Okay, let me go back. The government identified additional potential witnesses as Jane Doe number 7 through Jane Doe number 20 and John Doe number 1. So John Doe means a male individual that R. Kelly was involved with, John Doe number 1 and John Doe number 2, as victims. Wow. So R. Kelly also was messing with boys. He was also messing with boys and girls. So way back when I was part of the Team Truth, it was always things going around that saying that R. Kelly was with boys. And Bubba, that's his name, Bubba was his boyfriend. But, you know, didn't know for it to be really true, just alleged that that was his boyfriend. But But now reading about John Doe. Now, mind you, this is in the motion. This is not something I'm reading off Chicago Tribune. This is not something I'm reading off CNN. Nothing like that. This is a motion that is presented in the courtroom with the judge and Donnelly. I am reading documents that is legalized in the courtroom where R. Kelly would be tried. Okay, let me get back to this because I just cannot believe, because this has been a rumor so many years that R. Kelly had boys, but now that is written here in black and white, John Doe number one and John Doe number two, it just blows my mind that when we was not we, because me, I didn't know, but back when they were saying this, I'm like, could he really be messing with boys? And also, let me say this. Also, allegedly, that when those of y'all that really know this R. Kelly story, you know who I'm about to talk about, but those that really don't, Dominique Gardner was with R. Kelly. If you watch Surviving R. Kelly, that's when her mama went, rescued her from the hotel when she was in there with Jocelyn. Right, so allegedly, R. Kelly was about to give her a whole sex change from being a girl to a boy. That's why when you see her on Surviving R. Kelly, she kind of favors a boy. If you remember seeing, you know, the pictures that was going around social media when TMZ stopped Joycelyn and she was shopping, and then the other person was with the ball cap, that was Dominique. And R. Kelly was allegedly changing her sex to a boy. So now that I'm thinking about that, it is true, because it's right here in the motion. It's right here that he was messing with boys. Hoo-cha. Federal Rule of Evidence 412 expressly provides that in a criminal proceeding involving sexual misconduct, evidence offered to prove that a victim engaged in other sexual behavior, or evidence offered to prove a victim's sexual predisposition, is not admissible except in three narrow circumstances. Okay, let me scroll down a little bit just to see. Okay, safeguard the alleged victims against the invasion of privacy, potential embarrassment, and sexual stereotyping that is associated with the public disclosure of intimate sexual details, and to encourage victims of sexual misconduct to institute and to participate in legal proceedings against alleged offenders. The provisions of rule blah 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 apply in a civil or criminal proceedings involving alleged sexual misconduct. So I'm not going to get into all those numbers and all that. It's just a lot going on with that. I'm not about to get into that. It is a lot. Let me scroll down so I can get to the next part of this. Hold on 1 second. Let me scroll down. So basically, they're just giving you an opening about I'm still on the John Doe's. I'm still on the John Doe's. I just cannot believe that part. It's just crazy. Okay, so the court should preclude that the defendant from cross-examining regarding religious belief or expresses pursuant a federal rule of evidence 610. So you know, basically this is all that they're trying to say, what can go on in court and what cannot go on in court. The government's anticipation that a previous long-time friend and former manager of the defendant and individuals hereafter referred to a witness number one and whose identity is known to the government as the defendant will testify pursuant to a subpoena. I cannot talk today. A judicial grant of immunity above the events surrounding the robbery charges and the Racketeering Act, one of the indictment which occurred in or about August 1994. So, the government respectfully requests that the defendant be precluded from cross-examining witness number one about a religious experience described in a book, Witness Number One, published in 2011. In the book, Witness Number One detailed various experiences in his life as well as experiences connected to his years-long friendship and working relationship with the defendant. Throughout the book, Witness Number One discussed his faith as a Christian, expressed his commitment to God, and wrote about times in his life in which he felt either further or closer to God based on his own conduct, including with respect to the defendant. In describing one incident involving the defendant, approximately two or more years after the charge bribery scheme in Racketeering Act 1, Witness Number One discussed having a significant spiritual experience with the defendant. Now, when the motion talking about defendant, I'm on a trial, I'm in a jury, I'm in the courtroom. No, not me. When they talk about the defendant, they talk about R. Kelly. For those that are not familiar with the courtroom and all that, the defendant is R. Kelly. The defendant is Robert Sylvester Kelly. So, witness number one discussed having a significant spiritual experience with the defendant. Witness number one wrote that while dining in the restaurant area of an athletic training facility with the defendant after a workout session, witness number one was sitting at a separate table acting as a form of security while the defendant sat with a female friend. The defendant made eye contact with the witness number one, sat up from the table, and asked witness number one to follow him into the men's restroom. There, the defendant began to cry and stated in a remorseful voice that he, Robert Kelly, the defendant, felt the Spirit of the Lord on me. They both began to praise God and then both began speaking in tongues and praise dancing. And when witness one, number one heard another voice coming from the defendant, witness number one questioned whether he had heard the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking through Rob or the devil during the encounter because the defendant sounded demonic. So they have little notes at the bottom, speaking in tongues, also known as Galatia, is a practice of a religious experience in which people practice. So, you know, a lot of black churches, they, the pastors or whatever, speak in tongues. I know a lot of us heard of speaking in tongues. So I don't know if you practice that or not, but I know everyone is familiar with speaking in tongues, whether you do it or not. So witness number one religious beliefs and practices, including the religious experience described above, have no bearing on his credibility or in any other relevant matter under the circumstances of this case. Indeed, cross-examination on these beliefs in order to impugn witness number one credibility is precluded under rule blah 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 blah, blah. You know, They're always bringing all those numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm not reading all those numbers. The purpose of this rules is to guard against the prejudice which may result from disclosure of a witness' faith. Okay, let me scroll down so we understand about witness number one and how he wants to get with R. Kelly about his, R. Kelly wants to get with him about his faith, and he thought it was demonic or whatever. So let's scroll on down, because I'm down to page number 7, and I said today was going to be pages 1 through 5, but let me scroll down a little more and see. Okay, I'm going to read this and then I'm going to wrap it up. Okay, hold on. Hold on 1 second. Okay, so moreover, the prohibition under Rule 610 prevents cross-examination of any examination of not only the religious belief itself, but certain conduct resulting from religious beliefs. Okay, so we know that as the Second Circuit has explained, there is no difference between challenging a witness' credibility by cross-examining him regarding his religious belief and challenging the witness' credibility by cross-examining him regarding an act that is meaningful only when he considered in retaliation to his firmness of the witness' religious belief. Okay. Okay, so moreover, the religious experiences described above took place approximately 2 or more years after the events surrounding the bribery scheme and occurred decades before witness number one upcoming anticipated testimony, and thus had no bearing on witness number one testimony regarding the defendant's sexual relationship with Jane Doe number one or the bribery scheme charged in this indictment. It is thus irrelevant to the charges in this case. Questions on the caliber issue religious belief might confuse the jury and distract its attention from principal tasks of determining whether cross-examination on this matter is also bearing in rule blah blah blah, which prohibits the introduction of evidence where the risk of unfamiliar prejudice confirms the issue of misleading the jury substantially outweighs any prohibitive value. According to the government's respectfully request that the defendant be precluded from cross-examination witness number one regarding a religious belief or religious experience. So look like they trying to say that they don't want to cross-examine the witness number one because of his religious beliefs. I'm sorry, y'all. That's what it sound like to me in this. And then part 3 is redacted. So I don't know what it's saying. It is redacted. Page 8, 9, 10 is redacted, because redacted mean blacked out, can't read. I don't know what it's saying. I can't read that part. It's questionable what they are talking about in this. It must be something serious for them to black it out. So I'm gonna stop right here at page 11. I said I was gonna read pages 1 through 5. I haven't really got into the meat and potatoes of the information. Like I said, it's 52 pages, but I'm not going to read all 52 pages. I'm just going to get the most important information out of this motion and read it to y'all. I'm not going to read all this. It's just a lot. And I hope that you would get some real understanding about what is going on with R. Kelly. It's a very, very serious matter and charges that R. Kelly is under with this racketeering situation in New York. And then he has the Chicago trial. And then it's a legend that he has another city also. And I would... Oops. Oh, the what? Oh, y'all, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I'm yawning like that. I know why I'm yawning. Like, for the last... This is off R. Kelly topic. So, for the last... Since when did my son fly out to Friday? Yeah, Friday my son flew out to Jacksonville, Florida, and I've been babysitting his dog. He has a pit bull that is 9 months, and he has that dog so spoiled, so clingy. He was crying, and oh my god, I didn't get no sleep. So I am so tired, y'all. But I also said I was gonna bring this R. Kelly information. This is not very serious what I've been talking about so far. We did learn that there are John Does in this motion. I can't believe this. There are John Does in this motion. If you want to follow me on Instagram, I'm at Instagram on at This504Girl. I'm on Twitter. I can't even talk tonight. I'm on Twitter at This504Girl. I'm also in a Facebook group. R. Kelly Facebook group. And it's very informative. They have everything that's going on in that group. If you want to follow that group, R. Kelly Facebook group. And I'm going to be bringing the next few pages, the next important things about this motion on tomorrow. Tomorrow being Monday. So I will talk to you guys later. I hope you have learned something about this. I have, because as I'm reading it for the first time for myself, but I'm gonna skim on the next few pages to make sure I get the most important thing. But the John Does, I'm just like mouth wide open right now. Are you feeling the same way I'm feeling? My wide open. John Does. Oh, also, I'm going to let you know who the Jane Does are. I'm going to let you know who all the Jane Does are, because I have all that information. And I'm going to let you know that. And I'll talk to you later.